Thank you, to be here to have the part of these lectures. I feel perfectly at home. And I always enjoy coming to Free Harbor College, and I'm sorry that I am unable to stay throughout the entire series, the Lord willing. When this period is over, we shall start on our way back down to the Palmetto Everglades of Florida. And we'll be continuing remembering you in our prayers and doing everything that we can to help in the progress of the school. Exactly what time will this period be over, Brother Warren?
What time?
Four. Now, the reason I ask that, I know what watches are for. Some preachers don't, but I know what they're for. A little boy went to the service with his daddy, and he came back, and he said, "Daddy, what does it mean when the preacher does this?" He said, "That means stand up." He said, "What does it mean when he does this?" He said, "That means to sit down." He said, "What does it mean when he does this?" He said, "Not a thing in the world." I know what this is for, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about that long line at the cafeteria, and I am too, and I'm going to beat you. I hope I know which way I'm going. An old fellow's a little bit enervated, and he took a taxi cab. He's riding along in the taxi cab, and he looked at his watch, and it was 7 o'clock. He passed a jewelry store, and he saw a clock, and it was 6:55, and he said to the cab driver, said, "What time is it?" He said, 6:50. He said, "Turn around, we're going the wrong way." He's a losing time. Now, we don't want to lose time. I have placed here a little chart that I have used in teaching along this line on various occasions, and some of you, my students, in times past will recognize it, and I'd be glad for you to copy it. It does not appear in this book. It does appear in some of the debates that I've had. And these great truths are today being neglected in some realms, and we need to give emphasis to them, because without an understanding of them, we have problems grow up because we fail in many areas to do the type of teaching that needs to be done. Quint is an example by the pioneer preachers, not only the pioneers, the earlier preachers of the day past would go out and preach, and they talked about commands, examples, and necessary influences. They say, "We approve and establish. I want to preach by the yard." They say, we prove what we preach by commands, that is a law, by example, and by inferences. An inference is a logical deduction. A necessary inference is necessary. It isn't an optional matter. If it's necessary, it's essential. They never did teach that an example by itself authorized anything. And we allow the people among us to come to believe that simply because an example existed, that a matter was authorized and stood as a precedent, as a binding procedure among the people of God. They taught we ought to respect the law. We ought to be able, by logical deductions, to arrive at what is a necessary inference. If that inference is an inescapable logical conclusion, the example then into which they looked indicated that it is a requirement, or rather illustrates a requirement. An example is simply an illustration. It isn't a command. Now, they said in matters of liberty, there should be matters of law. And I think we have forgotten sometimes how to show the rising generation the difference between generic and specific commands and the matters of liberty. We take them for granted. I shall always be indebted to old Brother J.N. Armstrong. When I was a student, maybe that's not a good way to say it, maybe I should say pupil, at Abilene Christian College in 1924, I came there to study the Bible, and across the country at that time there was a great discussion about the use of individual cups, about classes, and about literature. And Brother Armstrong appeared in chapel, mark you. And at that chapel period, he took a blackboard, president of a school using a blackboard. And time back, I went to preach at a place and asked for a blackboard, and they wouldn't get it. It looked like a... Well, Jesus said, teach all nations. We ought to be taught. Say that. He took a blackboard, and for two solid hours, we missed our classes. Brother Baxter Gong was doing. And he knew he was doing a job that wouldn't be done, and he let it alone. For two solid hours, he talked to us about matters of liberty, about matters of law, between generic and specific teaching, and it opened a field. It opened an avenue of study, and I shall never forget that period. I believe, and I accept the examples, I have placed here a premise, and I believe the premise to be true. For an example to be binding, it must illustrate a requirement. Now that's the premise that we have laid down. Here, this word example is written here. Examples don't authorize. They illustrate. They may illustrate a divine requirement. They may illustrate a Christian liberty. I simply turn to the study of the background, of the action, of the requirement, and by inference, I arrive at whether or not this example illustrates a divine requirement. A few years ago, there rose among us the question of the care of orphan children and the matter of benevolence. It really didn't involve itself so much in the care of orphan children as it did on exactly how to do benevolent work and how to cooperate. The premise upon which this movement was launched is this, that all examples are binding. And if I talk about an example of liberty, they immediately counter by saying you don't believe in exactitude. And they said that Acts 11, 27, and 30 is the example of benevolence or the pattern, and Philippians 4, 14 and 20 is the pattern in evangelism. 1947, now I may be in error about the date, but I haven't missed it much. There came out a special issue of the Gospel Guardian. On the front page there's an article by Brother Curtis Porter, who was one of the very finest of gospel preachers. He set forth what he called the pattern. He said the pattern is this. In benevolence, you have to send the benevolence to the church and to be placed in the treasury. And then later, the question of the use of the dollar in the treasury became important. Secondly, he said in evangelism that the money must be sent
to the preacher, that you couldn't send it to a congregation. You had to send it to the preacher. That's set forth as the pattern by Brother Curtis Porter. In the same issue, in the middle of the magazine, there's an article by Brother Homer Haley which set forth the same theme. And another by Brother Charles Holt that sets forth the same theme. And those of you who attended the discussion that I had with Brother Holt remember that I used this argument. Brother Nichols remembers it very particularly, in because he was the moderator, and he and I went over it together before the discussion. That this was set forth. And Brother Holt had an article in the middle also of this magazine, 1947. And thus the whole movement was made upon this. In benevolence, send it to the church. In evangelism, send it to the preacher. And let me tell you something. Every chart they make is on that print. Every circle they draw, they preach in circles. The Bible's got preaching in circles. Every circle they make is on that print, is every one of them.
Still that way.
Still, they keep changing without giving up the premise. But here is the problem. They don't understand the use of examples. They have misused the example and established the pattern that doesn't obtain in the New Testament. And sometimes in discussing these matters, when you take time to try to explain to the brethren, think you're lost. Don't pay attention to them because they've forgotten what it's all about. Just go ahead and teach the truth about it. And they will counter by, you don't believe in examples. But we do. Now, examples illustrate. An example may illustrate a Christian liberty. Take Acts 2:43. And 46. If you have your text, look at it. The record says in verse 44, they that believed were together and had all things common. Now that's an example. That's what they did. And they sold their possessions and goods and part of them according to every man that had need. They did. That's an example. They sold. They put together. Where is the requirement? Where is the requirement? If all the samples are found, then you're obligated unto God to go sell everything you have and put it in the common treasury. Now, in Acts 4:32-34, the record says, and the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul, and not one of them. That's all of them. Not one of them said that all of the things which he possessed was his own. And they had all things in common. Some time ago I heard somebody say, well, here's the first passage on communism. Now can't you read? Let me show you something. You say they did it, but they weren't required. They didn't sell their homes. In Acts 2, they ate their food, their home. They sold their possessions. Well, they had to liquidate some of them. They didn't liquidate all of them. Old Ananias and Sapphira pretended they did. And they weren't reprimanded for not selling everything, just for lying about it. Not giving everything, for lying about it. Not a passage of communism. But here's the point. Here is an example, mind you, of people suing this very thing. But there is no requirement. If all examples are positive, well, you say, just give me a chance to go through the Bible. I'll take this one, you take that one. please. Oh, that's not the way it works. God set forth these matters.
In Acts 13:18-3, when Paul was preaching in Corinth, he stayed with old brother and sister Priscilla and Aquila. And he got him a job making tents.
Work with his hands,
making tents. In Acts 28:34, he said to the elders of the church at Ephesus when he brought them together, you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities. And he said, in all things I gave you an example. He said, I made my own living with my own hands, and that's the example. You want to follow it? Now you may. It's a liberty. Some of you preachers work with your hands. Some of you make your living that way. In the early days, most preachers did. You take men like the Sewells and the Lipscombs and the McQuiggs. Many of those people, it's perfectly all right. But there is no requirement. That's a Christian liberty. But there is a divine example of an apostle making his living with his hands. Is that a binding example? If it is, it takes you off payroll. I think you can convert some of these elders. Some of them already converted in it. You all. Your job, your work. Paul did, didn't he? The example, isn't it? Now, an example is an illustration. It may illustrate a Christian liberty. It may illustrate the divine law. Take the example of Acts 20:11-27-30. When they sold their things, they brought them and laid them at the apostles' feet. Don't think he was in bed. Well, the apostles around now. That's what they did. As every man had need. Now they say, there's the pattern. That in benevolence you have to send it to the elders. But they didn't send it to the elders. It's the apostles. No, that's here. Here, they did send it to the elders. But suppose here's a congregation that has no elders. You ever see a church didn't have any elders? How'd you help those people? Now here's the thing that grew up. If you want to get that, it's going to be all right. If you require sending to the elders, didn't have an elder, you can help that church. Now here's where the theory of the kosher daughters of it. You know what I mean by kosher? Alright. They said you send it to the elders and you put it in the treasury and you get it in the treasury. You can take it out for things only. It's kosher. Like this. Take this out and drop it in a basket. That's the Lord's daughter. This is my daughter. How wrong you are. Every dollar you have is the Lord's.
Amen.
They built this theory about stewardship. It's opposite to the teachings of God. Everything you have belongs to God. But they say we'll put it in the treasury. And when you get it in, you can't take it out except for the saints. You know there's not a church on earth can practice that and never did. That's an impossible to practice. I challenge any group on earth to practice it. You put that money in the treasury. You can't take it out for a saint. Except for a saint. Now you let the old goat put it, but you can let it have it. But you tell him, we'll heat the house for you, get it out of the treasury. Mm-hmm. We'll buy a seat for you. Mm-hmm. We'll make some parking lot for you. Mm-hmm. Over here at Memphis,
some of the brethren wanted to baptize. And they called Brother Mac Luck, he was then and there with the church over at Raw, and he said, "We want to baptize. We don't have any baptistry." Brother Mac Luck said, "That'll be all right," but said, "Remember, the water in the baptistry was put in with the saints' dollar. It was heated with the saints' money." They said, "We will preach." You can't practice that doctrine. Because it doesn't make sense. It's a human rule regulation. Now, in evangelism, they say that you must send directly to the preacher. They say, "Here's the parable. Philippians 4, it is true. They sent to Paul, he said, you sent once again, and to my needs. Yourselves know, ye Philippians, the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but ye only. And you sent once and again to my needs." Now, they say, in evangelism, you have to send it to the preacher. You can send it to the church. Where'd they get that? Well, that's a pattern. That's an example of Christian liberty. You send it to the preacher. You're not required to. But you stop asking this just a little. Here's a preacher. They'll send him over here and put him in a church. Is he a member of that church? If he is, when you send it to him, you send it to the church. If he isn't, then you send it to somebody that's not a member of that church, and in that sense, he has that much, at least, persuasion or power over those people. Fine if you want to. I'm fixed. It's back to the old evangelistic authority of Carl Hitcher saying that. What it is. Now, how did it come about? It started in 1947 on the premise that these examples of illustrations of a Christian liberty, you may send to a preacher, not required. You may send the elders. You may help a widow. You may have a daily administration. You don't have to do it every day. You may take it up and down last a week. And they set up a table. Where'd they put that table? In the church? Without a church kitchen? Operated from the church, wasn't it? Right there, they got a kitchen in the church. Well, if it isn't in the church, then you don't send it to the church. They take examples of Christian liberty. Binding, for an example, is binding and must illustrate a requirement. Where's the requirement? Set it up in there. Where's the requirement to work with your hand? Where's the requirement? You have to set it to the preacher. That's the point. Now here's the next thing. They say, "Well, if that's so," and it is. "If that's so, then you can't have the Lord's Supper. Well, brethren, I can give up Lord's Supper." Some places they're about to. They don't even know when to take it. The other day going around, I said, we learned some of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Young man, that's a bluff. There's not a thing in the world of Dead Sea Scrolls about the Lord's Supper. The feast that they had was a corrupted form of the old Passover. There's no vicarious suffering. There's no death. There's no memorial. You couldn't learn anything about the Lord's Supper in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's a blessing. But if you have read it. But, believe you have. But, you have to give up the Lord's Supper. Now watch examples of the law. We used to hear preachers preach and still on the conversion of the eunuch. Here's an example. Why is it binding? Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? And he baptized him. What's the law? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's the requirement.
Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Where's the water?
John 3:5, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Born of water!
The Lord didn't mean water when he said water. What would he have said if he hadn't meant water?
Now, you say, well, I have to give up the Lord's Supper. Look at Acts 20 and 7. Paul and his companions remained there 7 days to be present on the first day of the week. Now watch this inference. There is a requirement to eat the Lord's Supper, isn't there? Paul said, I received it from the Lord, I delivered it to you. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, he took the cup, and said, do this in my memory. He said, I got it from the Lord, and I gave it to you. Here's a commandment, a requirement. At Hebrews 10:25, there's an assembly required. They forsook it. Was the custom of some to forsake, exhorting one another so much the more you see the day approaching. I think that's the Lord's day. I don't think it's judgment day. You don't have to exhort people to go to judgment day. You don't go there, is it? Nobody forsaken me. I don't think that was the destruction of Jerusalem because that already occurred. And you wouldn't forsake it either if you were there. The whole context shows it was a time they were required to meet. Then, in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, here is an assembly on the first day required, as I gave order. Not against one church, he taught every church, and he ordered, commanded them to meet on the first day. That's the Sabbath. Watch them. That same bunch of fellows, when they translated 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, the first day of the week, thank you. When they translated that, there's almost identical Greek phrase, and every one of them said, yeah, every first day of the week. Just give them a look at it. That same fellow that tried to destroy the Lord's Supper by saying, Sabbath! When he got over here, 1 Corinthians 16, he said, every first day of the week. You want that collection here, son? We're going to try to spoil a little something. Yeah, let him be persistent. If that's what it means here, that's what it means here. Here is an assembly required on the first day of the week. Now you're acquainted with the countdown in this tongue gauge. Here is the assembly required. Here is the first day required. The day God commands and requires of you and me to assemble with the saints of God upon the first day of the week. That's 16:15, 14:13, 12:11. And in chapter 11, 5 times, he puts the Lord's Supper in the assembly on the first day of the week. And think about a bunch of bread out here trying to have it on Friday night. They think they're going to set the church straight. They don't even know what the Bible teaches. Well, they don't care.
Amen.
If that sounds hard, that's where I meant it to say.
Here, the Lord's Supper is placed in the assembly. Now watch the matter of inference.
An example is binding, but it illustrates a requirement. I know the action performed by the eunuch was required because of the law. And I necessarily infer, that what they were doing and the action of baptism was required. When I see these saints on the first day of the week meeting, an assembly is required, and they stayed 7 days to be there. The first day a meeting on the first day of the week is required. 5 times the Lord's Supper is put in that assembly. Now what's your purpose clause? Here's your inference. What's the purpose clause? When we came together to break bread.
Paul, why did you stay? To break bread.
Why did you stay till the first day of the week?
To break bread. What's the purpose?
We waited, we stayed, we came together on the first day of the week to break
bread.
There's your inference. Necessary inference. And I infer necessarily that the gathering on the first day of the week by these disciples was a requirement. Now listen.
If
their meeting on the first day of the week was not a requirement, the man that stayed away doesn't buy anything.
And the man that comes
doesn't obey anything. And these antebrethren started all this by saying, if that's so, you can't have the Lord's Supper. If I can't bind every example, I'll cut loose here.
And these liberals took it up and ran off it. They'll leave it right where it is. God Almighty required his people to assemble on the first day of the week. And then tell about that.